Alleluia, Christ is risen. Now listen, we only got one more week of this, and then we got to wait a whole year. You ready, Scott? Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. There you go. Today we continue our preaching series, Living Hope, Peace, Purpose, and Power. And this series is based upon Luke 24, the night after Jesus is resurrected and he appears in the locked room with his disciples, says, touch me, feel me. Ghosts don't have flesh and bone as you see I have. Today we're going to focus on verse 48 of that chapter, where Jesus looks at his disciples and says, you are witnesses of these things. And I think 2,000 years later, my question is, what are we witnesses to? Because I wasn't there when Jesus died and was resurrected. I wasn't there in the upper room. I can tell people about Jesus, but I wasn't there. The only thing I can witness to is how Jesus has changed me, changed my life. Therefore, the most powerful witness that we have to the saving power of God's grace through Jesus is actually our lives. I remember a couple years after I graduated from college, I got a call from a buddy of mine who I knew from high school. Actually, I knew him because we went to church together. And I hadn't seen this guy in 5 years. And his name, get this, was Bodie Bodimer. Only in the South can you get away with that. Right? And Bodie was in Atlanta. He was in town. And he said, let's go play golf. And so we met at the golf course. And I suggested that we get a couple beers to go in the cart. And then when we turned to the back nine, we could stock up again. And he said he would pass. And I thought that was a bit odd. Because Bodie back in the day was quite a wild man. And his abstinence, however, did not stop me. I started slugging down beers like Prohibition was right around the corner. The second hole, I knew something was very wrong. Not with me, certainly, but with him. By the fourth hole, I had a pretty good buzz going. And so my tongue was getting sort of slippery, so holding it was nearly impossible. And I blurted out, Bodie, what happened to you? You're not drinking, you're not cussing, and most disturbingly, you're not laughing at any of my jokes. And I looked at him very seriously and I said, are you on drugs? He laughed at that one. And then he said, no, but I did become a Christian. I said, Bodie, what are you talking about? We grew up in the church together. We're both Christians. Listen, we're better than Christians. We're Episcopalians. As I said, we were just on the fourth hole. So that meant I was a captive audience for the next 14. Bodie shared with me thoughtfully, genuinely, his journey to a living hope in Jesus that had changed his life. And he wasn't preachy, he wasn't judgy, and I hated every minute of it. I think I shot about 120 because I just kept whacking the ball trying to get the whole thing over so I could get away from that guy. You see, there was a part of me that felt shame around Bodie. Shame about how I was living. It wasn't that Bodie was being some sort of Southern Baptist scalp hunter. He wasn't. He was just an old friend who was sharing with me his life, his newfound hope and freedom. I was the one with the problem. After we finished the 18 holes, I remember running to my car like I was on fire, with Bodie screaming across the parking lot, good to see you, Terry. When I'm in town, I'll call you again. I never saw him again. But here's the deal. I couldn't shake it. I couldn't. how different our lives were, how different our hearts were, how different our perspective, our world views were. I kept playing the conversation over and over in my head, and this thing was just gnawing at me. He was genuinely joyous and happy and free. And I thought I was. But putting my life up next to his, I realized there was something wrong with me. With me. Now, I had a couple options in front of me. One was I could just totally write off Bodhi as some sort of evangelical nutcase and go back to my heathen life wrapped in a Christian veneer. Or I could start asking some tough questions. What's wrong with me? I didn't feel free. I actually felt the opposite. There's a part of me that was just terrified that I wasn't enough, that I wasn't measuring up, that I just didn't matter. And that drove me. It drove me as a young man to strive and grasp and grab for things which the world told me were important, valuable, meaningful, money, status, influence, anything to be enviable of others. The truth is, no matter how hard we strive, we never seem to arrive. And when we do arrive, we're never really satisfied. It feels a little empty. That ideal life just seems just out of reach. So what do? As good Americans, we just try harder. Bodhi had a freedom which was stunning. It was compelling. A freedom that he directly attributed to his faith in Jesus. And I began to pine for that kind of freedom. And I thought to myself, how have I missed this? This idea of freedom in Jesus. I mean, I grew up in the church. How had I missed this and settled for so much less? And I began asking, you know, what did hold me in slavery and bondage? And the bottom line is I was being held in bondage by death. By death. Now, what do I mean by that? See, according to the world and the air we breathe out there, when we die, we cease to exist. Therefore, death is the obliteration of self. And so unconsciously, we spend our lives attempting to defy death in all its forms. Yes, there's physical death, but there's other types of death. There's social death, being shunned, socially alienated from your peers. There's financial death, losing it all, and with losing it all, losing status, power, and influence. There's emotional death, broken relationships like divorce, and feeling like, am I lovable? Am I even seen? Who am I? All these forms of death are about the destruction of self. They're about identity. We defy death by doing everything possible to be seen, to be valued, to be worthy, to be loved. And if we can't be loved, then at least we can try to be enviable. All of it, a feeble attempt of screaming at death, I am alive, I matter, I exist. At least for now. It's slavery to death and the fear of death, which drives us to perform and produce, hoping that we'll not be forgotten, overlooked, discarded by the world, trying to validate our existence. That is the existential trauma and pain of living under the specter of death. Does any of that resonate with you all? Can I have a few head nods? Preacher needs some affirmation. Oh yeah. Am I hitting the target? Jesus appears in the upper room in his resurrected body, showing his wounds to his disciples. And what is the first thing he says, Ian? He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace, because I have risen from the dead. I have defeated death. Whatever the world is offering you is a forgery, a fraud, a lie. I invite you to die with me. To die with me. So you can be free from death." Jesus invites us through the waters of baptism to be one with him in his death. Dying to the world and its insatiable appetites and unobtainable expectations. Dying to ourselves. Dying to our wounded egos, which demand attention, demand to be the center of our lives. He says, "If you will die with me, then you'll rise with me to eternal life here and now. I rose from the dead to give you new life here, now, and to assure you that you will have life beyond this world." Here's the good news. You ready for the good news? Sid, you ready for the good news? Yeah? Pete, you ready for the good news? You're free. You are free. Free from the power of death in all its forms. You don't have to be anyone anymore for anybody else, not even yourself. Just the one who died for you and gave you this new life. Listen, this Christian life that we're doing together is about learning together how to live into this freedom with peace and purpose and power. Peace that there is nothing that this world can throw at us, like cancer or death of a child or loss of a career or death of a spouse. There's nothing the world can throw at us that will ever separate us from the love of God. We have peace to truly be who we are, not some fabrication manufactured for the approval of others and the world. Peace to be generous, living with open hands, ready to give, as opposed to grasping hands, grabbing at life and stuff. Peace to grow old with dignity, not spending untold amounts trying to turn back the hands of time. We have been one with Christ through baptism. We have died with him. We have risen with him to new life. We get to share in his resurrection life here, now. And that means we are free from the world. Also, it means we are free for the world. Our lives now have a purpose beyond ourselves, beyond our bellies, beyond our checkbooks. We have been set free to love others, no strings attached. No strings attached since we no longer have to compete for meaning. We're free to be an offering to the world, to care for the suffering, the lost, the enslaved, the poor in spirit, the hopeless. We can use our money for the relief of the suffering of the world as opposed to buying more props for our egos. We can freely use our time as a gift and offering to be with others. To truly be with them. Giving them our attention. Encouraging them. Listening. We can live outwardly focused because we're no longer driven to compete, compare, and justify ourselves. When Jesus instructed his disciples, when he sent them out, he said this, and I think he says it to us too. Freely you have received. Freely give. We're free to become like Jesus and live like Jesus. To walk through life as a gift for others. A blessing. A reflection of him. Listen, our greatest witness to the world in the Lordship of Jesus is our lives. Lives lived in freedom, freedom from death in all its forms, living in freedom from the world, so we are free for the world. Let me ask you, are you free? Maybe your answer is a bit like mine. Yes and no. A little column A, a little column B. Then the next question is, where are you still in bondage? And to what? Jesus invites us each and every day to throw off the shackles of death and to live. Because as John wrote, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Let us pray. God, I offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as you will. Relieve me from the bondage of self that I may better do your will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those that I would help by your power, your love, and your way of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.